This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This is Saturday Magazine.
We have in the studio Joy's very own board's president, Melinda Rich. Macca.
Yes. Welcome, Mel, again. Look, I wanted to start off in this segment, Mel. There's the subject of bullying. This is an issue that we've all had experience of in our personal and our professional lives. And my question is, look, Mel, recently there's been some allegations made about bullying in Joy, and I actually want to broaden this just a little bit. By this, I mean bullying by current and non-current volunteers. Mel.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think at the outset it's probably worth sort of talking about our policies in this in this space, just so that everyone understands. And I don't think this will be terribly surprising to people. They'll have come across very similar approaches in their workplaces and perhaps other organisations that they work. You know, so if people have a complaint or a dispute, they can lodge it with their immediate manager, the CEO, or up to myself as president. They need to make a complaint in writing, you know, so a corridor conversation about something doesn't really sort of, count as a formal complaint. And there's a whole bunch of sort of guidelines, which I won't go through, but, you know, around the timing of how we respond to those, which are in the policy, which people can dig out should they need to. Every complaint is investigated, and really it's important to sort of note that the focus on investigation is to understand what's gone on and really get to a point where we can resolve the dispute. You know, I think we're trying to be cooperative and trying to be constructive and resolve the situation for everyone concerned. We work through that investigation process. You know, there'll be some findings. Fair to say sometimes people aren't happy with the findings. You might not be happy with everything in terms of the result and the resolution. If people aren't happy, there's a process whereby we can have a mediator come in and have a further discussion. So there is that escalation process for people as well. It's not the mediator's role to make findings around the dispute or the complaint. They're really there to sort of help people get to a resolution. And, you know, indeed, sometimes having a third party involved who has fresh eyes and sort of isn't a part of the situation can be quite quite helpful. I think the other thing I'd really like to say is, and I did say this in my letter to members, you know, it's really important to understand that if your manager or someone at the station directs you in a professional and respectful way to do your job effectively, correctly, appropriately, to follow our policies, that does not constitute bullying, right?
So that takes me to my question then, Mel. Sure. So what do you mean by, what do you mean by bullying? And is it a universal definition? And does everybody understand what bullying really means?
Yeah, well, look, I think, you know, probably the ultimate sort of reference that we can all go to is the laws of the land, right? So the Fair Work Act 2009. And the definition of bullying in there is this occurs when a person or group of people behaves unreasonably and repeatedly towards a worker or group of workers while at work, and the behaviour creates a risk to health and safety. Bullying does not include reasonable management action carried out in a reasonable manner.
So that's what you were saying earlier on.
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
Well, that's pretty clear. I think there's, you know, we've seen there are current allegations. I don't know the details of them, but there's also allegations that relate to and against previous volunteers. And by that I mean, you know, volunteers that are no longer actively involved with the station, and I suppose, you know, they're not actively involved. And we've actually got a question, Tass, haven't we, here?
We've got a few questions,
which is, can we just go to, and along that, Mel, what do you, and it's in the, along these lines, what do you say to people that haven't approached the board with their individual stories because they've either left Joy or because of it, or they felt scared or traumatised by the whole experience, are you concerned you don't have the full story?
Yeah, look, it does concern me to hear that. I wouldn't like to think that there's a situation where people feel that they can't bring things forward. I've just outlined a process where people can bring things forward, and the ultimate escalation is to myself as president, and I'm sort of not here day to day, and that's kind of good, right? So I'm an escalation point for these things. But I think stories are... that's an interesting word. People will have their stories about what they think has happened around for them around joy, and that's a perfectly valid perspective that they might have. But in terms of complaints and disputes, we really have to deal with the facts, and often there will be different views about the facts. So if things come forward to us where there are facts that we can investigate, happy to step in and do that. If people have... I don't know, a subjective opinion. There's not a lot that we can do as a board, to deal with stuff like that. So, you know, this is one of the really hard things that we have to come to grips with as a station.
And of course, sometimes some people don't like the direction that organisations are taking.
Yep.
And that causes personal conflict with them.
Mm.
And some people's reaction might be to say that they've been bullied, which doesn't feel right to me. But if the organisation's going in this direction and I want to go in a different direction, well, then sometimes people just have to say, well, this isn't for me anymore.
Yep. I think that is a perfectly rational sort of way of looking at the situation. Joy has a strategy which is about setting it up for the next 25 years, broadening our reach and impact. Having wonderful content. We have a range of sort of programming policies around the content that we want to create. We have some wonderful broadcasters who are delivering that for us. But, you know, I'll say really openly, Joy doesn't owe anyone a show. It's really what is best for Joy and what is best for the strategy of Joy. And we have a programming committee which reports to the board and manages that content. And we have a program director as well who manages that content.
I just wanted to touch, excuse me, again on, some of those ones in the past, because, you know, bullying wasn't invented on the 1st of January 2018. So I'm interested in some of those that are in the past and how you deal with those.
Yeah, I mean, I think at times like these where this sort of stuff bubbles up, you do naturally get people sort of communicating what their experiences were at Joy. And I've had comments through from people on stuff that sort of dates back, you know, almost 10 years. I think, you know, we're aware of those, complaints and stories, a lot of which relate to people who aren't around the station anymore because they've, you know, chosen not to be here or go and do other things with their lives. If people want to come back to Joy, we'd welcome them back. But, you know, we would really need to sort of look at the circumstances under which they left and, you know, make sure that they could come back and make a constructive and productive sort of contribution towards Joy. And in terms of any sort of current sort of disputes, we're working through those following our policy without sort of going into detail. We've had one that we've just worked through in the last sort of 6 weeks or so, gone through the whole process that I just outlined, and it's been dealt with and closed out.
It's important to note here, and we've had some messages, we are not going to use people's names on this program.
No, and we're not going to deal with individual cases. That's not our
business. In my opinion, that's another form of bullying, and I'm not going to tolerate it. So how do members communicate with the organisation, Mel, if they want to make a bullying complaint? You went a little bit through, okay, there's a number of people they can contact. I'd like you to reiterate that, but, you know, how do they communicate with the organisation if they want to make a bullying complaint?
Well, it's a pretty simple answer, really. Put it in writing. Put it in writing to the CEO or to myself as president.
And what do you actually want in writing? Because sometimes what people will do is they'll say, I don't like this.
Yes, yep.
Or I don't like the fact that somebody turned up behaving like this at work. So do you need a detailed description? Do you need, you know, evidence? Do you need photographs? Do you need, what do you need to actually...
Well, it's all sounding a bit forensic, isn't it?
I think a bit of detail.
Yeah,
helpful.
I mean, I think...
Well,
you know,
I suppose that's what I'm trying to get at.
You
need a description of what's occurred.
In, I guess, moderate sort of factual language. And, yeah, look, there will be some notes that I get, like exactly what you've described, where people just say that they don't like something and, you know, all I can do as president is say, look, you know, thanks for your feedback. I'm really sorry that you feel that way. There's not much that I can really sort of do about that. You know, that might not be the response that people want, but that's the only response that I can actually give in those circumstances.
Because I do wonder that what's occurring at times is that people just don't like a particular approach and therefore bullying is the way in which they respond to that. And in fact, you know, it's hard to actually substantiate and provide hard evidence to demonstrate that this was a bullying case.
Yes, it can be very, very difficult.
What happens in those circumstances?
Well, I think, you know, we work through a fair and transparent and respectful process. And often what can happen is that people feel heard and they feel that they come out of that process having been able to put their position. Maybe they don't get exactly the answer that they want, but they get clarity about what the outcome is and the matter is dealt with for everyone.
Yeah. You are on Saturday Magazine with Macca and Tass. Joy President Melinda Rich is with us. We are going through questions that you're sending us if they're not covered in the questions that we have. We love the comment on social media. I'm sure you're all having fun. Some of you even having more fun than others. Mel, recently there've been some comments about the morale and culture of Joy. What can you tell us about this?
Well, look, I think one of the things I can speak to is the workplace culture survey that we do every year. So we've just, in the last 6 months, completed our third annual survey. So we've done it 2015, 16 and 17. And it's one of the ways that we can get a pulse check on how people are feeling about Joy, our volleys. A bit about the survey. People have probably done some of these in their workplaces.
And it's... If I might say, it's done with a unique link to each member,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So it's confidential.
That means that you can't do it 10 times.
Correct.
That's right. That's exactly right. So it's 15 multiple choice questions, and what people can do is they can give us a score of 1 to 5. And a 1 means that you strongly disagree with the statement or the question, and a 3 means you're neutral, and a 5 means that you strongly agree. So, you know, in terms of scores, what we love to see is, you know, scores up around the sort of, you know, 4 or 5, because that means people are quite positive. There's also room for people to make comments. So people can add their comments to the survey. And I think, you know, what I'd like to say is overwhelmingly we found that our volunteers are overall very satisfied with the environment, the workplace environment at Joy, and that morale is quite good. Just to give you some stats about the last survey. So we had 106 volleys completed the survey, which is a pretty good turnout for something where people, it's not mandatory. People can choose to do it or not.
So that's a third of the volunteers that are actively engaged with the station.
That's right, yep, and take the time to give us the feedback, which is really terrific. 14 out of the 15 questions we scored 3.5 or above out of 5, you know. So that sort of says people are better than neutral on 14 out of 15 of the questions.
In my business, that's... a significant share of voice.
There you go.
With good tonality.
Good tonality.
Mr. PR sort of giving us some commentary there.
Well, so, Mel, is a third of the volunteers who respond to the survey, is that a good number? How does that sort of stack up against industry benchmarks?
Yeah, look, I think it's a really, really good number for a non-compulsory sort of survey. I think if you can get... anything around a sort of a third of people upwards responding to a workplace survey, you're doing sort of really, really well. Because people do need to take the time and take the care and give it the attention.
So in the sector that I work in, which is the health sector, we're looking at 15 to 20%.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Okay. All right, well, we've done better than that then.
So yeah, it's pretty good.
There was one of the questions I seem to remember, because I remember, about, you know, how positive did I feel about joy? I can't remember the exact question. Do you have any, because I know you've got some facts on some of the questions.
Yep.
You know, I think about whether I feel positively about joy as a place, you know, to volunteer in.
Yeah, so one of the questions, I'll read it out for people just to refresh them. I've got it here in front of me. I feel more positively about Joy 94.9 as a place to volunteer than I did 12 months ago. Now, the score that we got on that that statement or question in 2015 was 2.8 out of 5. So not real great. This year in 2017, or in the last survey, we got 3.5. So a really sort of substantial improvement on how people feel about volunteering it.
Okay, so 14 of the 15 questions were 3.45 or more out of 5. So that I'm a stats person, going up from, on that question, going up from 2.8, was it, in 2015?
Yep.
To 3.5. So it's now hit the median, it's now hit the benchmark in terms of...
Now hit where we really like to be or above. Okay. Absolutely. Yep.
Now, some would say, and not me, but some would. Actually, no, I would, actually. that's great, but it's a bit academic, Mel. We still hear some anecdotal reports of a cultural issue and low levels of satisfaction. Now, I know that's, you know, it's anecdotal, but, you know, stats are good, but can you address that?
I guess that's a really hard one to address, right? Anecdotes are wonderful, and I could probably pick out, you know, just as many sort of positive sort of anecdotes as potentially sort of, let's call them constructive at best or negative at worst, anecdotes. And in terms of that, you know, negative feedback, I'm happy to be open about it. You know, we do get negative feedback through the surveys, and I'd be really worried if we didn't, quite frankly, because we're not going to keep everyone happy all the time. And if we expect that we would, it's probably to, you know, striving for perfection, and that's that can be unattainable. You know, looking at the survey, there are people that score us a 1 or a 2, mm-hmm. which means they disagree with the statement and, you know, perhaps aren't happy about some things. I've got the stats here, and typically 90% of people who respond and give us a score give us that sort of 3, 3.5 or better.
I was just going to say we've had a smattering of anecdotal feedback this
there
morning.
There we go.
And,
some
and
of that.
I just want to refer to some of it because consistently we're getting different messages from different people. But 601 says Joy is an amazing place with a fantastic team. I've been volunteering for 6 years and I've loved every minute of it. That's Ali. We've had 317 who says, fantastic. We've had 828 who says, as a volunteer, I've felt nothing but positivity and support from the station. Very high morale. We've had one from 560 who says, I have found the spirit and engagement and joy in the past 12 months to be the best in my time as a member. And it goes on. Now, we've also had a negative piece of feedback here from somebody. 680 who talks about allegations of bullying and poor culture and wants to know whether this is concerning. Of course it's concerning. But look, that's just this morning. We've had and there's it's still flowing through.
And one here, yes, anecdotal evidence, good one, 317, is not credible in a court of law, and it's not. I ask specifically that, you know, this is about, you know, people in all sorts of formats and in all sorts of forums make allegations. That's what I was asking, you know, Mel about, as opposed to the actual hard, you know, actual complaints that we have that have been lodged with the station currently and that have been lodged in the past. So, yes, I appreciate that clarification, but it was about what, you know, what people are sometimes saying. I'm sure we've been getting some messages that may disagree with the president. Are you going to read those? Well, I'm actually searching for some.
Yeah, well...
happy to mark yours as a negative one if you like, but I haven't got any.
There's one here from Andrew who says one of the problems with Joy is that some of the people on air and DJs etc. act like divas because they're on air and they think they're rock stars and want to treat Volad men and staff like their personal slaves. That's why I left. I'm sorry, Andre, that you had to leave. Anecdotal well,
I'm,
evidence.
I'm happy to stand on
that
my,
one.
I'm happy to stand on my record within the station, Taz.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I think we've also been accused of actually conducting a very biased interview, so I'm not quite sure what that's about. And somebody else asks, can you explain the Fairfax article on how you are addressing the claims, please? And that's from Eagle Hawk. Now, I think you've already done that, haven't you?
I think so. I think we've probably...
I think you've circulated a letter...
Dealt with that.
...to all members responding to those claims.
Yeah, so, you know, very disappointing that things end up in the media, and I was sort of joking with the board, you know, we'd love to be in The Age, but for very different different reasons.
Share a voice.
Yeah,
tonality
right.
Not ideal.
That's right.
Macca, somebody says... it's just gossip, Macca, but I love your wit and grumpiness.
Look, I'm trying to... I've done my best to put that on hold. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9.
Anon,
Anon, you know who you are. Thank you for the message.
Woof, woof.
Woof, woof.
Who's that, Macca?
I don't know.
I've got a fill in now, listeners. Guys... This is a message from 258. Guys, you haven't addressed... No, that's not it.
No, no.
Missing it around, Macca. What are you doing? The message says, Hi, I saw Macca on telly a few weeks ago. Macca, you've still got it. Wolf.
Wolf, wolf.
Oh, dear.
Wolf.
Okay.
From Anonymous.
Now, a couple here. I just want to deal with this one. Guys, you haven't addressed the petition that has a potential for a board spill. Just hold that thought, Mel. And this one here, the email response from the board clearly has left some dissatisfied. What else can be done here to ensure this doesn't fester for a longer time? You can answer either of those in whichever order you like, Mel.
Okay. I mean, it's not in anyone's interest to let this kind of keep rolling on. It's a particularly sort of bad time of year given we're about to head into Radiothon, which is really what we want to be spending our time on because that adds value to Joy. But look, I mean, I can only reiterate what I said in my letter, which is we've continually sort of made offers to be constructive and sort of resolve things. We still have an independent person, really respected in the community, who's reaching out and sort of seeking to talk with this group. I think a difficult task because I don't know if it's a group or a collection of individuals. It's been hard for us to sort of figure out who we're meant to be talking to and who we're meant to be dealing with. But that person is still doing that. And look, in terms of, you know, a petition, as I also said in my letter, we have our articles of association. There's processes for people to raise their concerns. I think in my closing paragraph I said we really respect that. If people want to go through this process, I personally don't want it to happen. I think there's plenty of other things that we can be focusing on.
But it's the process.
We live in a great liberal democracy, and that is the process that people can follow.
Okay, now, look, we all love Joy, and 25 years is something we can all be proud of. You know, Joy has been at the centre of our communities in our fight, you know, for equality, for equity, you know, and for our voice. It is, some people say, and I agree with this, it is the glue that holds us together. Now, I know, Tass, because you and I were talking about this the other day, a week or two ago, about Graham Brown's report from La Trobe Uni.
You know, Graham's an academic at La Trobe Uni. He works for the Australian Research Centre for Sex, Health and Society, and he did a piece of work a couple of years ago, now it's probably about 4 or 5 years old, where he examined the impact that Joy has on listeners and the community itself. And what he found was that in Victoria, more than any other place, because people do have Joy, they feel so much more connected, so much more informed about issues impacting on and affecting our community because of Joy. Now, that's one piece of evidence. We have a whole range of other pieces of evidence that suggest that joy actually, truly in some ways, is the voice of our community. So I suppose what I'd really like to do with this segment is to get you to explore that a bit and tell us, what impact is joy having on our community, on LGBTI organisations, and even more broadly than that? It's a very broad question.
Yeah, no, that's a big question, and you know, really gets to the purpose of joy. I think, you know, joy is really all about creating a more inclusive Australia. That's what we do. We do it from Victoria, which I think you could argue is the most progressive state in Australia.
At the moment, it certainly is, isn't
it? Yep. And, you know, that's everything that we're trying to do is around that purpose. If you look at the role that we played in the marriage equality debate, I mean, an incredibly important role, being the voice and the communications hub for the community, and indeed for anyone else who wants to speak to our community. You know, the level of talent that we attract on air to speak to sort of issues that matter to us, and telling our story is just amazing. And I think we have fantastic relationships with our colleague organisations out in our sector. And, you know, just to give you an example, I was in at the station on Thursday afternoon talking to a couple of members of the Pride Centre board. You know, we meet with them once a month, keep sort of talking about what developments are on their side and our side, you know, with a view to what the future might look like for joy down at the Pride Centre. You know, we regularly talk with representatives from other organisations, very connected, for example, with the crew at VAC, another really important organisation. And, you know, I had a lovely story this week, and I think Martin Foley talked about this earlier. I had a group from regional Victoria in Melbourne for a couple of days, and they had a little get-together on Tuesday night with Ro Allen. And I heard feedback from everyone who was at that event, just how positive people were about joy and what it does and how it connects the LGBTI.
Do they put their money where their mouth is?
Well, I'm not quite sure. I wasn't there. I didn't quite sort of, you know, get to do my stump speech about ways to give to give to joy. But hopefully they do. And look, on that point, I can give you a couple of examples. So I think I mentioned last time I was on, we had a couple of our prominent patrons who directed their wedding guests to donate to joy in lieu of a wedding gift, which I think, Tass, you should do today as well, since you are going to a wedding, I hear.
You should give Mel and I the bottle of grog and we'll drink it.
That's right. And then you can donate to joy instead. So we got, we actually got $7,000 out of that one single
That's pretty good.
Same-sex wedding.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and we had another patron this very week who donated $10,000. They'd committed to that at our patrons event in February, and they lived up to that promise and put $10,000 in. And that's, you know, that's substantial money. Mm. That's substantial money, all tax deductible too.
So just as we, you know, close, a lot of people say joy doesn't have the impact or what's it having within the community. And sorry, there's been a couple of messages, a question about a particular employee. Not going to address that. That's personal and that's private. I'm sorry. I know you would love us to ask that, but I'm not going to breach anyone's privacy. Tell us, Mel, about the impact joy is having within the community and more broadly. I mean, sorry, this is a question I always like to ask because I think it's interesting what, you know, the impact we have.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no better example of the impact that we have than if you think about the, you know, the great news and current affairs that we do. And SatMag is an example of that, and The Informer is an example of that.
Nice of you. Thank you.
There you go. You know, look, jokes aside, think about, and I mentioned this in my note, think about the fantastic Mardi Gras sort of broadcast that we did over 4 days from Sydney. The reach and the impact that had was just amazing. It was across multiple channels. We had a great partnership with SBS. We were on digital, and we had, I think, you know, politicians beating down the door to sort of come and talk to our community, to 400,000 listeners a month. And we've got, I think we're up over a million podcasts.
Well, we did,
downloads.
Yeah. Yeah, well past it, yeah.
You know, so that's just amazing statistics, I think, about the reach and impact that Joy has. And the key there is, you know, and I've always said this, you know, radio, it's in our DNA, it's the heart of what we do, but we go by so many different channels now to give people the option to listen to Joy effectively wherever they like and whenever they like.
Now, I'm going to give you actually, there's a question here that says, sorry, just go back one there, Tass. I'm unimpressed with this interview. There's an awful lot of covering going on. Oh, well. Sorry you think that.
Asking, I don't know what that means.
Asking questions and getting answers. I'd like to give you the opportunity to make a bit of a closing statement. Yeah, it's up to you. Go for it.
free air. All right. Look, I think there'll always be some detractors in our community. Maybe don't agree with the direction that Joy is heading. Look, honestly, there's probably some people where nothing I say will be of interest to them or make them happy. What I have to focus on as chair of the board is the health and sustainability of Joy, and really that sort of probably vast majority of people who are quite happy with Joy and how it's going. And I think, you know, let's just look at the facts. Look at the sustainability of the station, look at the content that we do, look at the partnerships that we've got, with our community organisations, with corporate sponsors, and look at the engagement that we have, and look how we're viewed as the voice and the communications hub of our community. It's pretty easy to sort of criticise. There's always a bit of that. But there's a great saying, you know, life is achieved by, you know, people who show up. You know, that's what I've tried to do with my time at Joy, put my hand up to be on subcommittees, put my hand up to be on the board, roll up my sleeves, contribute to the organisation. I've said, you know, people might disagree with this, but I said at the AGM, and I say a lot of the times when I'm communicating with people, my job is to sort of leave the place better than I found it. And that's really what I'm very much focused on. And really wanting to have, in terms of our content, you know, respectful, professional, engaging, informative conversations that matter to our community and what they want to hear. Very broad church.
We are a broad church.
Very broad church.
You sound like Michael Kroger.
Oh, dear.
And I think maybe the other point is factual. You want it to be factual rather than just emotive.
Yeah, look, there's always a lot of emotions. They're a necessary sort of part of human life. But really, you know, what all that we can do is really deal with objective issues and facts. Yeah.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.